open our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Glad that y'all could be here with us this morning. We'd be together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing, Father, upon this time together. We ask that you'd help us be faithful to you, bring glory to you and honor. Lord, we pray that you'd fill us with wisdom. Give us understanding. Help us see your way and follow it, Lord. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, First Kingdom. David and Goliath, this story here. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Now the Philistines brought their armies together for battle, and they gathered at Socah of Judah. They encamped between Socah and Achai in Ephes-Damin. And Saul and the men of Israel gathered, and they were encamped in the valley. They were to set up in battle formation opposite the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with the valley between them. You just set up here the picture of two armies, one in on one mountain and one on the other, and a valley in between them, the battlefield. One thing I want to point out right here is the differences between the two. One is on one side, one is on the other side. There is God and there is Satan. There is not just a common ground in the middle where we all just everything is just wonderful because we can just all make it work that we can get along. There, the battle between Satan and God, there's no treaty, there's no truce, there's no common ground in the middle that we can just all have peace at. Satan and God are at war. There is light, there is darkness. Verse 4, and a mighty man went out from the battle line of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath. His height was of 4 cubits and a span. Someone said that's around 9 feet tall. He had a helmet on his head and he wore a breastplate of chainmail, and the weight of his breastplate was 5,000 shekels of brass and iron. And he had armor made of bronze on his legs and a bronze shield between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like the beam of a loom, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. A shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and shouted to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle against us? Am I not a Philistine, and you Hebrews of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me, if he is able to fight with me and kill me. Then we will be your servants. But if I am able to kill him, then you shall be your servants, or our servants, and serve us." And the Philistine said, "Look, this very day I challenge the ranks of the armies of Israel. Give me a man that the two of us can fight one on one." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Again, there is one way or the other. If the Philistines won, then Israel would become the servant of the Philistines. If Israel won, the Philistines would become the servant of Israel. There wasn't a, oh, if we beat you, you can go live your life happily ever after, and we'll just all work together and get along. There was, this is a spiritual battle that's lining up here. The one is going to be the servant of the other. And he told about his, the description of Goliath. He was a giant. He had all the trappings of a warrior, a fighter. He had the appearance of being almost unconquerable in his appearance. And he laid out the challenge to the world and was saying, how dare you would come up against us and line yourself against us. These threats. Who are you to line yourself up against us? All these things can be pictured, and you see the picture of the world declaring to God's people, how dare you come up against us? They're almost, it appears, and their challenge and their voice would speak of authority that you can never challenge us. And the very thought of that, the very idea of that authority that someone would challenge would make the one challenging feel like they were the arrogant one. They were the proud one to dare challenge. How many times that whenever you see someone making accusations of things, that in reality everything is just exactly opposite of the way it should be. This is God's world, not the world's world. This is God's creation, not from the world. But yet the world looks at God and says, how dare you challenge us? The world looks at God's people and say, how dare you challenge us? The world, doesn't matter what setting it's in, the spirits are the same. You can look at politics, you can look at in business, you can look at anything. And this same two spirits of one that is good and one is evil. And that battle is everywhere. And that it's multi-layered. Just the spirit of these two, of the battle. That the one, the usurper, is always making the claim that how dare you try to usurp our authority. And all, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. All of Israel heard these words and they were afraid. The battle that we fight is a fearful one. The enemy that we are facing is a giant. And most are dismayed and greatly afraid. You know, we're just in talking this week with Kevin a little bit, and we were talking about something and just going out and making a stand. What does it mean to go out and really stand for something? You know, we can overcome our fears of people. And go out and take a sign or go out on the street and preach. And we have to overcome a fear to do that. But you know, we can overcome that fear of people and go boldly stand for something and still have no moral courage at all. It takes more than just proclaiming something and being a loudmouth about something to really stand for something. To really stand for something takes a moral courage that's much deeper than just putting yourself out there for a little bit of ridicule or a little bit of mockery. You know, sometimes we're afraid to just say something because we're afraid of what people might think about us or what people. Moral courage goes much deeper than that. Verse 12 says, "But David said to Saul, 'Let not the heart of my Lord fall in regards to him. Your servant will go and fight with this foreigner.' And Saul said to David, 'No, you are not able to go to the Philistine to fight him, since you are a young man, and he is a man of war from his youth.' But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to tend the flock of his father, and when a lion or a bear came and took a sheep out of the flock, I followed it and struck it and delivered the sheep from its mouth. And as it arose against me, I caught it by its throat and struck and killed it. Your servant smote both the lion and the bear, and the uncircumcised Philistine will be as one of them to me. Will I not go and kill him today and remove for the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised one who challenged the ranks of the armies of Israel? The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the uncircumcised Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord will be with you.'" You see, the difference between David and all the rest of them is that David wasn't afraid of the appearance of a giant. He wasn't looking at the circumstances. He wasn't looking at the battle. He saw through the circumstances. One version of the Bible, it says that Goliath was led out by someone, had to lead him out into to this battle. What David saw was reality. I mean, can you imagine this big 9-foot giant trying to catch someone like David? You can just imagine David just being nimble. He could run circles around this giant. I mean, he's got all this armor on. He's dragging all this armor. He can't run fast. He's not quick. But David could just run circles around him. So instead of looking at how big he was, David saw that this really isn't going to be that much of a battle. I'm not going to go wrestle him. Everyone looks at the giant like we're going to go wrestle him ourselves, that we got to go have a wrestling match with him. David didn't even think that way. And yet, the rest of the army stood in fear because they were thinking that they were just going to go have to have a wrestling match with the guy, with this big giant. But they stood in fear because that's what they saw and that's what they believed. And they were paralyzed. David saw that the world and Satan were just a big cloud of air He was just all talk. He had a foreboding appearance. But it was just all talk. He had a threatening demeanor. And how many people go run and hide because the battle looks threatening? How many people stand in fear because the world talks tough? Because Satan talks tough. All of Israel stood in fear. The king stood in fear. But David, he didn't hear the tough talk. He thought, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Or who is this big blowhard that's just talking, that's got everybody afraid? He told about the things that he had faced. I've faced these things before that could have harmed me, but the Lord was with me. I was doing what I needed to do, whether it looks afraid or looks fearful to people or not. I just did what I needed to do. He was, many would think that, oh, he's just bragging. Look what, he's just telling everything he did. No, he was just telling what he did. It would have been false if he was just saying, oh, shucks, I didn't do nothing. Then he would have been phony. He was just telling what he did. He wasn't trying to impress anybody. He was just saying what he did. But the world comes along and says, oh, he's just bragging. He's just bragging. He's just blowing. Why do they say that? Because they brag and they blow. They can see what they are through someone who is true. Someone whose light and a mirror is reflecting back. The world sees what they are through them. The world sees their own heart. Verse 18, so Saul clothed David with armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head, and he girded David with his sword over the armor. David made a trial walking with them a time or two. And David said to Saul, I'm not able to go with these, for I have not tested them. So they removed them. Then David took his staff in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. He put them in a shepherd's bag to store away, and his hand was in his sling. He then approached the Philistine. Here again, David wasn't trying to put on some impressive defense. He wasn't trying to put on no big show. He wasn't trying to protect himself with something that he knew nothing about. He just took what he had. That's all God asks of us. It's just to walk in the path that He's set in front of you. And we're so afraid of it. We're so scared just to walk in that path. Is that path easy? No. It's not. Is that path going to be where you never get hurt? No, it's not. It's full of danger. But the only safe way is to walk in that path.
David promised that he won't be mangled up here or get hurt? No, he's not. But he sees that if he just stays faithful, the Lord will take care of it. This is the path that he's called to. We're in a war. We see David throughout his life. Was he perfect? Absolutely not. But he had the heart of God. And he walked his life in that way. Here he is. Verse 21, "And when Goliath saw David, he disdained him. For he was a young boy, ruddy, with a good countenance. So the Philistine said to David, 'Am I as a dog that you come against me with a staff and stones?' Then David said, 'No, worse than a dog.' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of heaven and the beast of the field.' Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Sabaoth, and the God of the armies of Israel, whom you reproach today. Today the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will kill you and take your head from you. And this day I will give your carcass and the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of heaven and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and the Lord will deliver you into our hands.' And the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David. Then David put his hand into the bag and took out one stone. He slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone penetrated through the helmet and into his forehead. He fell to the ground on his face. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. He struck the Philistine and killed him, and there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and killed him and cut off his head. And the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, and they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued them as far as the entrance of Gath to the gates of Ashkelon. And the wounded Philistines fell on the way to the gates, even as far as Gath to Ashkelon. Then the men of Israel returned from pursuing the Philistines, and they plundered their camp. And David took the head of the Philistines and brought it to Jerusalem. He put his armor in his tent." David had a heart after God. David was just a man. David saw that the world was just all talk. It was just all talk. And he saw through it. Here his brothers and the rest of the army were tough. They mocked him whenever he wanted to come and see the battle. They mocked him whenever he came out and said, "Why isn't anyone fighting?" They mocked him. The big tough guys were mocking him, calling him proud, while they trembled inside themselves. It's not about an outward appearance. It's not about how much we can talk. It's not about how well we perform. It's about having the moral courage just to stand just to do what you know to do when everyone around you is mocking. Just to be faithful. David didn't think it some great thing that he did. He just did what he knew to do. He just walked in the light that he had. That's all it takes to defeat the world. Satan may be able to destroy our bodies. He may be able to hurt us physically. He may be able to take everything from us. He may be able to laugh and mock, belittle. But the only thing that he can't take from us is the only thing that we have. And that's the will to fight on. That's the courage, the moral courage to keep on fighting and not give up. Just a little picture that of moral courage that even in the world today, there's people with moral courage. It's not maybe directed the right direction. It's not on a spiritual level as it seems. But there's people that go through everything to hang on to what they truly believe in. They're willing to subject themselves to whatever the enemy has to throw at them to be faithful. Their names may be dragged through the mud, accused of all kinds of things. And the only thing they have to do is give up. There's people that have been taken in armies, in wars, and tortured for years, separated from everything that's their family, their home, everything. And tortured. And all they have to do is give up. And they're faithful to what they believe in. That's all David did. That's all David was. Some people would call him stubborn, foolish, all kinds of names. But the only thing he had to hang on to, he hung on to it. People don't understand. They just think you're a troublemaker. They just think you're causing problems. You know, you don't have to be in their face telling them all their problems. All you have to do is just stand. It's amazing how little a person really has to say sometimes. A lot of times we think we've got to make our opinion known. But the war that we're fighting is much bigger than just the words that we can come up with. It's a spiritual battle. It's light and darkness. You just stand in the light, and the darkness knows you're there. We're so afraid so much of the time. Is it easy? You know, Paul talked about that the many things that through all kinds of trials and temptations and troubles, and yet they couldn't take him away. Couldn't take what he had away. It's only when we give up that we lose. We can fail. We can get back up again and fight on. The boys, one time, there was a man told them, said some of the young boys, there was a man came up and he said, when you quit, you fail. When you quit, you fail. When you quit, you fail. And then he made them repeat it. What was it? When you quit, you fail. When you quit, you fail. The only way to lose is to quit. It don't matter what we have to go through. So many of these people of God quit as soon as the giant showed up. They never even went out on the battlefield. They quit before they ever even got out there. The difference between David and the rest of them, he didn't quit. He didn't quit. He didn't quit. Sometimes that appears foolish, stubborn, all kinds of things. But until we know a different direction to go, someone tries to give us to give up, it's just quitting. It's just quitting. We don't know what we'll have to go through. We don't know how hard it might get. But we can quit any time. We may not appear strong as we used to be. We may not appear as fierce as we used to be. But that don't mean we quit. You know, in a fight, sometimes you get beat up. But the only way you lose is when you quit. Sometimes we may get wounded. Have to heal a little bit. But the only time you lose is when you quit. That's the difference between David and the children of Israel. Saul's people. They gave up before the battle even started. We can talk about all the different regulations or the rules or whatever, the different beliefs. That's not what God said that David was a man after his own heart about. David was after God's own heart because he trusted in him and he didn't quit. May the Lord add his blessings. God help our strength.